Sometimes I don't. Eh. Sometimes I sing to the ocean floor. Sometimes I float. Eh. Eh. That's my jump. That's my jam.
What are you just?
It's my jam.
By yourself.
Shine your light.
You see the way I'm just watching Love It. Just with the eyes of judgment.
Sometimes I pray. Sometimes I don't. What kind of song is that?
Sometimes I sing to the ocean's floor. Sometimes I float.
Who is that?
Mologo, shine your light.
You, shine your eyes.
I think somewhere. It's called Sometimes I Pray. It's a good song. I love that song.
Okay.
It hypes me up before my keynotes.
Are you serious?
No, I listen to it before my keynotes.
Share it with like, me. Hey, how does the chorus go?
Yeah, that's Sometimes I Pray.
Yeah.
Sometimes I Don't. Sometimes I Sing to the Ocean's Floor. Sometimes I Float.
Hey.
Sometimes I float.
You're walking on water like
this. I always float in Jesus' name.
Float above my haters.
Float! Shine above him.
Oh my gosh, y'all, man, Lovey never ceases to be that. I was literally here just watching her sing.
My foolery.
By herself.
We will sing by ourselves. We don't need choir. Sing your own song. You don't need a choir.
Hey, just like David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Hey.
Playing on his harp.
You don't need a whole people. Just anyhow, you can, it's just you singing.
Just you. That will preach. The message today is just, enjoy yourself.
Look, by yourself.
Make yourself happy.
You can be walking down the street singing like a fool and people looking at you crazy. Meanwhile, you are in your joy.
You are in your joy.
You are in your joy. In your joy.
Find your happy.
Hey!
Y'all, what's going on, y'all? We are here back with Jesus Angela for another
bonus episode.
That was like my Oprah. Jesus Angela!
You get a Jesus and Jalof.
We have a bonus episode for you guys.
Yeah, we want to talk about career. Because we talked about dating, right?
You guys asked us questions.
Yeah.
And hopefully, again, we might have answers. But like we said, the comments, the comments made by Lovey and Yvonne.
Just know.
And not a representation of Lovey and Yvonne.
Correct. Oh, they're not a representation of Lovey and Yvonne.
I like your own disclaimer. What was your disclaimer?
My disclaimer was, answers from me and from Lovey and Yvonne does not constitute professional answering. Get your therapist or your business coach. Otherwise. This is just grain of salt.
It's just two grains.
We are two foolish goats dropping grains.
Two foolish grains.
Two foolish grains of salt.
So you all have questions and hopefully we got answers for you. So this bonus episode is about career.
Yes.
All right.
Let me drop a proverb for the people.
Ooh, proverb. Your proverbial wisdom.
Yes. Mm. The wealth which enslaves the owner isn't wealth.
Chai. The wealth.
Which enslaves the owner.
Is not wealth.
Is not wealth. Money can cage you.
This proverb is a scripture. What does it profit a man to gain the world
and lose his soul?
That is it. You know my other favorite scripture though?
What?
Is the blessings of the Lord maketh you rich and he adds no sorrow to it.
Ooh!
That is it. When you are sorrowful in the midst of blessings, it did not come from Jesus. Somebody else is blessing you. Ask yourself, who is it?
That's it.
So that's good. Ooh, that's some good career. That's good career wisdom.
We are just trying.
I like your proverbs.
In fact.
Okay, first question. Once you acquired money and fame, how did you learn to manage it all?
Ooh. We both was like.
Because we were just literally talking last night about how, like, our money is not our own.
No.
Like, when you are maybe one of few people in your family that has like an influx in resources and funds.
It's not just yours.
It's not true. You got to retire your parents.
Yeah. I had to know that I needed help with it because when I start getting an influx of cash, I'm like, surely it shouldn't just be sitting in my bank account. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do with this? Mm-hmm. So I hit up my girl, Malik, who is a boss. She runs Curlbox. And I was like, Malik, you have money, a lot of money. How do you manage? And she was like, oh, my financial planner. I was like, is he looking for clients? Can he just get my life together? She introduced me and we get on the phone. I tell him my whole financial business. And his whole thing was, got it. My job is to make sure your money is doing well.
Yeah.
So pay people who are professional to help you manage your money, but keep yourself in the mix so you always know where you stand.
Make sure them taxes are paid.
I think a lot of times we make money and we just let it sit there. We just want to see zeros in our bank account. Uh-huh. But sometimes that's losing us money.
Because you need liquid assets.
Yes.
And you need assets that you can't take out for like.
Honestly, you don't have to be rich or like wealthy. You can actually go get a financial planner today, even if you are in debt, actually. Mm-hmm. It's probably when you need to do it.
Yeah.
Get one today who then looks at all your money, comes up with a plan if you're in debt of how to pay it off, and then the money that you do have that's cash, what's the best way to use it? So outsource that, please.
And I think beyond just the money, like, how do you balance, like, the demands on your time? How do you balance, like, you know, I don't know, your social media presence now that, like, you can actually monetize that after you have a couple, you know, after you reach a certain number. I think really, I think it goes back to trying to figure out what you want and what kind of quote-unquote celebrity you want to be. Because I love you. People say you're famous, and I'm like,
That makes me uncomfortable.
The most uncomfortable.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
You're a celebrity now. I'm like, where? From where?
It makes me so uncomfortable when people say that to me.
Because I'm, I don't know what that means, you know, because it's like I wasn't looking for fame. I was looking to be successful pursuing purpose.
Yes, so that's it.
Anything else is really extra. So, like, I don't know... Y'all, I still get tripped out when I go to Best Buy and have to buy a computer. And I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, so this is like $1,400, like in one swipe. Ugh, okay, do we really need this computer? Is my desktop really that back up?
Is that like, my desktop?
My desktop. You see me? I don't know anything. I don't know technology. But it's just like I have to ask so many questions. So, like, for me, when you've been broke for a long time, like, for me, I'm not a spendthrift. I'm like, hold on. I've been broke too long. We can't go back.
Yeah.
We done tasted the land flowing with milk and honey. Ain't no going back to the wilderness.
Yeah.
So, for me, I'm probably overly cautious in my spending. And like I said, like, I took risks with my money. I was like, I would rather go broke again getting out of debt.
Right.
And that's exactly what I did between season one and season two.
Yeah.
It was like, you didn't know I was on an HBO show because I was poor again. But you know what? I didn't know Salimé.
Yeah.
Neviant, whatever she wanted to call herself.
There's wealth in not having debt.
There's wealth in not having debt. And that was more important to me than like flossing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know what? If I clear this out, any new money I make
is mine. Yeah.
And so you just have to, you find the balance when you figure out what kind of person you want to be.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who just want to stun and hose. And it's like, you can't do that.
You know, I've never bought a really expensive bag.
I just made my first purchase. And I was on the phone with Bose and our other friend,
was it
April.
Chanel?
No, it wasn't Chanel.
It wasn't Chanel.
I was like, everyone calm down. It's my first one. Let me just ease my way into it. But I was on the phone with Bose and April, and I was like, okay, what should I do? Should I? Okay, how? Okay, does this make sense? Is this good? Because it was like I wanted a casual joint. You know what I mean? But for me, that was a big deal.
Big deal.
And I had just finished performing. So it was kind of like, okay, you know what, Yvonne? You done performed like 8 shows.
Yeah.
You can deserve to buy yourself one nice thing.
One nice thing.
Just one, like, and for me, it was like I didn't get carried away.
Yeah.
It was doable. I didn't have to, like, move money from one account to the other.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing crazy. It was just like, but it was more than I normally would ever do.
Yeah, same.
And sometimes, you know, you have friends that help you level up because, you know, you can't just be in, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, you got to be like, you know what? You have it now.
You have it
so,
now.
So, like, I will forever tell the story. Jay from Insecure, Jay Ellis had to remind me that I didn't need to shop at the 99-cent store for my groceries no more.
Wow.
He was like, Yvonne, you work at HBO now.
You work for HBO now.
Do better, ho. And I was like, I said, but they got good peanuts at the 99-cent store. And it's Plantas. It's name brand peanuts for 99 cents. If I go somewhere else, it's $3.49.
Yeah.
He was like, if you
stop it,
don't get out of the 99 cent store. And so sometimes you can have a poverty mentality.
Yes.
That people have to be like, hey, baby, do better.
Do better, G.
But, you know, you just have to find the balance because you don't want to go to the other end of the spectrum.
And just spend all your coins and end up broke in 3 weeks.
Listen, because as much as I love the Insecure train, I don't know how long it's going to last. So if you mess around and just blow everything.
Stack your cash. You're supposed to have 6 months. Remember, keep this thing in mind. You're supposed to have 6 months of cash on hand at any given time. As in, like, if you were to lose your job today, there's supposed to be 6 months sitting somewhere. And for a lot of people are living check to check, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if you're not living check to check, you're making sure that you're stacking some of those coins. So you have your 6 month thing.
And also, it's like you can stack. It's just what are you spending on?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't even have anything left over to save. Okay, so how many cups of Starbucks coffee are you really buying?
Yeah.
So, because you know, each cup is like what? Between $3 and $5. You can buy a whole ground. I don't know. I don't drink coffee, so I don't know if I'm saying. But like, you can buy the joint from the grocery store and just make it yourself.
Yep.
So it's just like, find the places that you can cut back. So that was just, little nuggets. How do you find a side hustle when you feel like you aren't creative?
A lot of side hustles are not creative, mm-hmm. and that is fine. Like, you can be a notary public. You know, you can actually start being the person who, when people need to get documents notarized, you can be the person they call to do it, and they can do it electronically. Your side hustle does not have to be a creative side hustle. It don't mean you got to be a writer, a singer, a dancer. You could be the person who's an accountant on the side. You could be the person who is running errands with TaskRabbit on the side, driving Lyft on the side. Your side hustle can be practical things. They don't have to be art.
Just be good at it.
Yeah.
Just whatever that is literally a side and it's a hustle.
That's it.
So you got to work it and be good at it. Number 12. You like number 12.
That's number 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could talk about the peaks and valleys of perfect child syndrome. I would love to know how you balance working to make your parents proud while chasing your American dream of love, happiness, and success, all without throwing your hands up in frustration and risking it all. Mm. Perfect child syndrome is real. We both have it.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
We both have it. Like, they just read our whole lives to us.
It was like, I would like to know how you balance working to make your parents proud while chasing your... We did not balance it. They were disappointed.
Correct.
They were very disappointed.
Yes.
It was like 8 years before my parents and I actually had like a conversation that did not end with, what are you doing with your life?
But here's the thing. So being the perfect child, this is actually a perfect way to put it. And I wouldn't have put it in this way until I read it. Like, being the perfect child, being the one who does not want to disappoint the parents is a thing that many of us have. But we let it take us out of our purpose because we're like, oh, I know I'm not supposed to be a doctor, but I'm going to do it because that's what my parents want. And then you end up miserable in the process. Meanwhile, they're barely happy. Right? And it still doesn't make them as happy as you thought it would, right? But...
And you actually can't provide for them because you're still trying to get out of $250,000 in debt for your med school loans.
Mm. Correct. So you kind of have to just be okay with disappointing them.
For a while. Because here's the thing. If your purpose is of God, one, it will not spoil.
Mm.
And two, in the sweet by and by, he will make all the... He will restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm had
eaten,
he will restore your relationship.
Yes.
I literally had to give God my parents. I was like, you know what, God? I can't be in L.A. and crying every other day because they mad at me. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let them be mad. I need you to help me be okay with them being mad.
Yeah.
And so I can proceed.
Yeah.
And legitimately, when I let that guilt and that guilt of shame go and was like, you know what? They're not supposed to understand what I'm trying to do. This makes no sense to them.
Nope.
So I can't even be trying to win them over because I won't. And the reality, I think I mentioned this, I don't know if it was on this podcast or somewhere else. It did not dawn on me to a friend of mine, Namoski, he's another comedian and host. He said to me, he said, you're angry at your parents, but you have to understand. If you told your parents you want to do engineering, they can say, okay, no shaking. We can go to Mrs. So-and-so's son, who is an engineer.
Yeah.
He will get you a book.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, he can get you a job when you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are now being useful and resourced. They're being parents.
Yeah.
He said, you handicap your parents
Ooh.
From being parents
Ooh.
When you tell them you want to be a jester.
Because there's no way they can help you.
Who in the village can they go to and point to and say, can you please help my daughter in her gestering business?
So gestering
business. So you have literally capped them from their one job, which is to be amazing, helpful parents. And now if you fail, it is a reflection of their own failure.
All of our failures.
And I was just like, That moment, I was like, I have been a beast brute, you know, towards my parents. Because my parents just don't understand. Shut up. They're not supposed to understand.
Yeah.
But once he clarified that for me, it freed up, like, all expectation of them supporting me or loving me. You don't make sense to them right now. And that's fine. Continue on. Because I tell you right now, hey.
Now they're super proud.
Do you have HBO? Hey, if you don't have it.
My daughter is on it.
That's where she is. You can only find her there Sunday nights at 10:30.
But that's the thing. I just think you just have to be okay with disappointing them for a hot second.
That's it.
And just going on, walking on your own journey.
But
and
you
then,
can't disappoint them and not be working hard.
Don't just be a useless disappointment. Be a useful disappointment. Yeah. So at least you're working towards something.
Be a useful disappointment.
Be a useful disappointment.
Because at least you're working towards
something. You're working towards something.
I like that.
Yes.
So I hope that helps you out. You know, again, if it's got it, don't spoil.
How did you get over feeling unqualified or feeling stuck? Oof. I call that imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Many of us call that imposter syndrome. Like, we always feel like we don't belong in the rooms that we're in.
Because even after you make it.
Even after you make it, you're like, how did I get into this room? I spoke on a panel last year with Richard Branson. Sir Richard Branson, who owns Virgin Atlantic and has his own island. And I was on a panel sitting next to him. Mm. And I was tempted to be like, why am I up here with this billionaire to talk about tech? But then I had to realize, one, any room that you find yourself in, even if somehow it was an accident, it's no longer an accident the moment you're there. The moment you're there, it's not an accident.
Wait, say that again. Love you, you go too fast.
Any room that you find yourself in, even if it felt like an accident to begin with, it is no longer an accident the moment you're there.
Chai. You people owe us money. You owe us money because this is good. Me, Melody, I owe you money.
Like, you will feel unqualified when I'm standing in a room where Oprah's 3 feet away and Shonda Rhimes is 3 feet away and Ava's 4 feet away. And I'm wondering this little African girl, how did she end up here? I have to be like, even if I don't think I have a reason to be there, I am here to be in rare air. At minimum.
In rare air.
Inspired and be like, I'm here. Do not let the imposter syndrome keep you from doing the work you're supposed to do. Because the one thing it would do is keep you from doing your purpose because you don't think you have the right to do it, whatever it is. And that's damaging because a lot of us will let it tell us not to write the book or tell us not to audition for that play or tell us not to apply for that job that we are qualified for. We are just being too humble. So we don't do it.
Love you, why are you? Why are you telling our business like this? You see,
I'm just saying.
Oh, nobody told you to just come and read my diary.
Don't read your journal.
Just in fact. No, like, love it. That's
real.
That's real good. The time I felt like a fraud was the second day of shooting the pilot. Now, I done 5 auditions, just broke my back to try and book this effing show. Booked it. You're like, woo, yay. Then it's just like, oh, snap. What if they find out that, like, I'm not good? What if, like, I was only good for these 3 scenes that I did on the audition? Oh, my God. So then the first, I tell this story a lot, and shout out to Prentice Penny, who is our amazing showrunner. First year shooting, I'll never forget it. He was like, Yvonne, can you do it like this? I'm like, okay, cool. And I'll do the lines, you know, the way he said. And then they would cut. And he was like, actually, can you do it like this? And I'm like, okay. Yeah, I can. And then they would cut. And he was like, can you try it like this? So legitimately, I went home that night like, they're going to fire me. I've heard of people getting fired after table reads. I've heard of people getting fired after they were reshooted because the girl was not good. I just, in my mind, was like, I'm doing something wrong. And they're like, I'm not giving them what they want. And so, the next day, I cried myself to sleep that night. The next day, I legitimately woke up and I was like, okay, Yvonne, you can do it. Just go out there. I got to work. I was like, hey, Prentice, can I talk to you for a second? I said, I just feel like I'm failing you guys. Like, I feel like I'm not giving you guys what you want. He was like, what are you talking about? I said, well, yesterday you asked me to redo the scene like so many different times. He was like, yeah, because you were giving me what I wanted. And I, to be honest, I didn't know what I wanted. And I'm just trying to get so much out of you so that when I go to editing, you know, whatever options. Take, I got options.
Yeah.
I said, my friend, why did you say that from the beginning? I went home crying last night thinking that I was a failure, thinking that I, you know, and so it's like, even when you make it, the doubts and the insecurities, you know, no pun intended, but like the, am I a fraud?
We make up stories about who people see us as, right? My other podcast called Rants and Randomness. You guys should be listening to that one too.
Better, if you're not watching Insecure and listening to Rants and Randomness and Jesus and Your Love, your life is not complete.
So you go subscribe to Rants and Randomness. But so I had Francesca Ramsey on there. And she said, when somebody gives you an opportunity, don't insult them by telling them that they don't know what they're talking about by believing in you.
Hey!
Let me repeat it.
Oh my God.
I had Francesca on episode 7. And she just dropped a book called, that escalated quickly. Mm-hmm. But I asked her about this question, like, what happens when you find yourself doubting that you're qualified? And she said, when somebody gives you an opportunity, don't insult them by telling them that they don't know what they're talking about by believing in you. So even if you don't believe in yourself.
Just, they see something that you don't even know.
Trust the person that believes in you. And be like, you know what? Me. I don't know if I'm good at this, but you said I'm good. So I guess I'll just trust it.
Girl, when I tell you, that just spoke to my entire existence.
Yes.
When Chris Rock asked me to go on tour with him.
Come on.
He's my idol. Like, what do you mean? Me? For what?
It whole you.
Am I funny? Like, I'm like, Chris Rock. Like, I still remember Bigger and Blacker. I still bring the pain. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I quote your jokes because they're so funny. How many years later? And I'm just like, you're asking me to open up. And then here are the cities I opened up for Chris. Shh. Atlanta.
Come on.
Memorial Day weekend. So peak blackness.
Huge.
L.A.
Yes.
Madame.
Birthday.
The same place they do the Oscars.
Yeah.
The Kodak Theater.
Yes.
And then Madison Square Garden Theater.
Come on.
And then Barclays. What? Huh. 16,000. Me, for
not
what?
Not Iowa.
Not
New York. Not Cleveland. No, no shade.
You said
New
that
York.
Yo, New York, L.A., and Atlanta. And I was like, yo, first of all, let's just talk about L.A. and New York. Those are the, like, comedy meccas. Like, what are you talking about? Like, if you're a comic and you're, like, either in Chicago, New York, or L.A. So I know Chris got comedy friends.
Hella options.
Hella. You chose me.
You
for what?
Chose me.
Why? What happened? And it's like, I couldn't even, like you're saying, like, I couldn't even think about that. It was literally just, you got to rise to the challenge. Like, there were so many nights I wanted to throw the F up. Like, why am I here?
He believed in you, yo.
But he saw something. He believed in me. He was like, you're funny. You're good.
He said, in fact, what's funny is before the first one that you opened for him, I had gone to one of the shows in Chicago. And when I met him and I said, I know Yvonne Orji. And he was like, she's really funny. And I told you afterwards. And you was like, what?
I was like met that. And that's so right. Don't disrespect them by not believing in their believing
you. Correct. So even if you don't believe in yourself, believe in somebody else's belief in you.
You know what? That would bring. Oh, that's listen. Hey, you got. Yeah, listen, man. Y'all can fake on these jams we dropping if you want to, but that's so
yo,
real.
It's real.
Faith it till you make it.
Faith it. Listen, is that you?
Is that
original Yvonne Orji quote?
My pastor from Maryland used to say,
faith it.
Not fake it.
Faith.
But faith it till you make it.
Ooh, that's it.
That's it.
Wow. Faith it till you make. Wow.
And if they tell you no, you ask the wrong person. Because a no today is not a no tomorrow.
No, it's not.
That's it.
Open, closed doors. I know that. I'm telling you.
Listen. Okay. All right. So I think this is one that we can end on. How do you remain positive in your not your time season? Let me read it again. All right. This one we can. All right, guys. This is one we can end on. How do you remain positive in your not your time yet season? What if it seems like your dreams aren't meant to come true?
Wow. There was Robin Thede, who's dope, recently tweeted something about how she's been rejected so often. how she realized that some of her rejections were blessings because they moved the things that weren't for her out the way.
Come on.
Like, that's not verbatim, but that's essentially what she said. Basically, your rejections are sometimes blessings. So in the seasons when you are getting the no's, just understand that, one, you're being prepared for the bigger yes that's going to come.
Come on.
Okay, that's one piece. And two, the no is just to also fortify you. Because you're not always going to get the yes. We still get no's right now. I got a recent no that I was like, whew, that hurt a little bit. But then the smaller no's that came before prepare you to understand that yeses will come. It's just preparation for the yes that will come. And then for the no's that will still come afterwards.
Listen, Pastor, I was listening to Pastor Stephen Furtick. He had a message yesterday and he said, if you receive God's yes with praise, mm-hmm. why don't you receive God's no's with trust?
Ooh.
Dang. Jesus.
Drag me. If y'all get me by my eyelashes, my eyelash.
Because also some of the no's are not from the devil. Some of the no's are not from the enemy.
No.
Gotta give you a good no too sometimes.
Like, no, that's not you.
Mm-mm. Or not yet.
Not yet.
Or not yet. Because here's the thing. All those years that I was struggling, God, I really wanted to happen. God, I really want to have. He said, me, I want your character to happen.
This is going to build something bigger.
No, I want your character. Because here's the thing. It's like giving birth prematurely. Yes, you can have the baby, but then it's got to be in the incubator. It's got to be in the hospital. Yes. It's going to run you more money. Yes. Or you can go full term.
And the baby comes out healthy. So, bouncing baby boy.
So in the times where I was like, God, I'm ready. It's like, you may be ready, but the circumstances that are optimal for your dream to take off may not be ready.
Madame.
So I was ready, but there was no insecure.
Yes.
Yes, I was ready, but there was no pilot. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I'm ready. Yeah, but all the pieces of the puzzle were still getting put together.
Y'all, like, talk about rejection. One of my favorite books is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. It's one of the most popular books in the world. Like, it still sells like it just came out yesterday. And I listened to his episode with Oprah on Super Soul Conversations. When the book first came out, the book was rejected by 32 publishers.
Wow.
Something crazy like that. Like, something like 32 publishers. And this man, his parents actually at one point put him in an asylum because they thought he was crazy that he thought he could write.
Wow, Sway.
He had to asylum. Escape. They put this man. And talk about no. I mean, and now this book is world-changing. This is the book I read before I started writing my book. That my favorite quote is like, whatever you want, the universe conspires to make it happen. And I read that book before I wrote my book because I was like, I want to believe everything's possible. But you think about the big no's that big people have gotten. Man, it just gets them ready. Like, Harry Potter was declined by 12 publishers. Tomi Adeyemi, who just did Children of Blood and Bone.
Oh, my gosh.
Her story is amazing. But nobody that you know who got to the top and stayed there got it by just getting nothing but yeses.
Listen.
Nobody.
Like, you show me who they are, and I'd be like, oh, God, where were you? Where were you? And you're absolutely right, Levy. And, you know, for those of you who are struggling with your not your time yet season, listen, I remember when depression was seeping in. And I remember the Bible verse that goes, Abraham, against all hope, believed in hope. And it makes no sense. You're like, yo, he ain't had no. Man, God told this man he was going to be the father of many nations. He ain't want no Viagra. He was about.
How is he going to do it? Just bomb.
11 years old. Sarah, about 99,000 years old. Like, it's your vagina just like dust. Okay. What baby?
What G spot? What? Like, it was an M spot at that point.
Well, no KY jelly can help that situation. Just dry. That's dry. Okay? And God was like, sure, that's cool. Hey, come on, let me show you. If you see the stars, that's as large as your descendants are going to be.
Wow.
At night, if you see the...
Pastor G's in the house.
If you see the sun during the day, yo, I'm telling you, it's like the number, the sands in the earth, whatever. God was like, I made you a covenant. Not just a promise, but I made you a covenant. Man. So God's making some of y'all promises, and God is then making some of y'all covenants. So he was just like, yo, I understand it looked bleak. But it's cool. Yeah. It's cool that it looked bleak. Yeah. Because when I manifest, can nobody else take the credit? Same thing happened to Lazarus. Yo, Jesus, if you would have been here, if you would have been here, Lazarus, I thought he was your friend. That was your friend. How could you let Lazarus die? Jesus was like, listen, man, this has happened so the Son of Man can be glorified.
Oof. Yes, indeed.
And who got raised up?
Yes, indeed. Lazarus.
So, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's like some of your no's and some of your dark days and some of your dark times are just happening so the Son of Man can be glorified. So, because when he powers up, who gonna take any kind of credit but him?
Who else?
Jesus be jealous like that. He's like, I don't want you to think that you did this on your own because you smart. There are so many things, lovey, I can't take. I don't care how many degrees, I don't care how many books I read, I don't care how many people I know. Well, nothing but by the grace of God.
Okay, God's. I always say that my path is a testimony of God's grace.
The end.
That's
what. Because he's like, I don't want no competition for what I only me can do. How? So for some of y'all who are in your darkest seasons and your darkest time, it's cool because when God does it. That testimony that you're going to have is going to free. The same way y'all were like, yo, episode 4, Jesus and your love really ministered to us and really freed us. You got a testimony awaiting.
And you know one of my favorite verses? 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
That's it. Yo, eyes have
eyes
not
have
seen.
Not seen, ears no. have not heard.
So if I can vision it, so it's like, write your vision board, and God is like, that's cute.
That's cute.
That's cute. Write the vision, make it plain. God's like, that's cute. Because if you can think about it, if you can see it, if you can envision it, I can do far more than that.
Far greater things, okay? Mm. So keep believing, keep working at it, and remember these no's, because when the yes comes, it's going to be that much sweeter.
Sweeter than guava.
Than honey. Mm. And gari with sugar in it.
It's, in fact, you know, honeysuckle.
Yes.
Yes. Sour sop. Papa. Ube.
We're just saying. All these things
just
sweet.
Be sweet. Just sweet. Sweeter than roasted corn. Sweet.
Just sweet. It'll be delicious.
In like the dew in the morning.
Mm.
Gently rest upon my soul.
That's it.
Y'all, I hope you all enjoyed this bonus episode. As always, thank you all for listening to Jesus and your love.
Jesus,
and
wait, your blackness is enough.
Hey, on Jesus and your love.
Your blackness is enough.
Hey. On Jesus and your love.
Correct.
So your blackness is enough. On Jesus and your love. Get out of me, homie.
Holler at us on JesusAndJalove@gmail.com
or at JesusAndJalove on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find me at Yvonne Orji on all social media.
And I'm at Lovey on everywhere.
Deuces. I like my backing. I was backing.
You are backing.
Big dog, little dog.
Get at me now.
Hey. That's what
it is. See? She's contagious, GMX. Bye, y'all.